Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Trevor Bauer, speaking of kicking butt, Trevor Bauer, I mean, do you know him?
No. I know his work. I don't know him personally.
Because he's a feisty one.
He,
I didn't know.
He has really come out strong against the commissioner, Rob Manfred. And
he complained about the proposal. It's not in
law right now.
This was a proposal to go to 14 playoff teams instead of 10, which I actually don't think he was complaining about that. What he was complaining about and what led him to go off on Rob Manfred is this proposal that a division winner will be able to pick their first-round opponent from the wild card teams, which I agree with Bauer is absolutely ridiculous. It's Bush League. It's Sandlot. It's barbecue picnic softball-type junk.
And for people who might be tuning in and don't know, they did make a rule change, Chris. You know, it was talked about a year or so ago and floated out there, and now it's official for this coming season, the 2020 season, and I think you're going to be happy about this.
Yes, and we will get to that, but let's first hear what Bauer said, and then we'll comment on that.
All right.
You want to market the game? Don't change it. Don't make the mound 62 feet. Don't make playoffs where you have to pick your opponent and freaking whatever. Don't change the game. Market the players. You have more players in baseball than any other league with much more diverse backgrounds worldwide, more so than any of the other major American sports. And it's the least marketable. It's because you make stupid decisions about how you market the players. You don't open it up. Let content go. Get it out there.
Now, that was Bauer put that out before the new rule change came about, which is that relief pitchers have to face at least three batters in that inning or they must close the inning. So if they come in, all pitchers, if they come in with one batter left, there's two outs and there's one batter to face, they can just face that batter and then not come out for the next inning. But if they come out, if they start an inning,
they have to pitch to
at least three pitchers and even including starting pitchers.
Now, here's the issue I have.
With the rule?
What we want to talk about, Bauer's rant, which is pretty hot. I mean, and, you know, it's funny because we talked to Jerry Harrison Jr. on the podcast, Chris, on the Inside the Parker podcast, which dropped this morning. And Jerry said he had talked to a lot of players. And, you know, the Union Players Association has a major say in rule changes.
Right.
It ain't no the league decides or whatever. The players have to sign off on
right.
it. He said he had talked to a lot of players that he works out with in Arizona and whatnot. And he said there was very little support for that, about the whole idea.
For the expanding the playoffs?
For the picking and, yeah.
Well, but what about the playoffs?
But just a whole new floating of changing the playoffs.
Okay.
So that's what he said. And the way Bauer's come out.
I don't understand, Rob, why. I get why you may not like it as a purist. But I don't understand why players wouldn't want more playoff teams. It's not like they said we're going to have 16 or 18
in each league total.
But for a player, if I got more of an opportunity to make the playoffs, I want that.
But baseball, Chris, and I'm not going to say this without really knowing, but as far as rule changes, the game hasn't really changed a lot since it was.
But it's changed. I mean, the mound's been higher. It's been lower.
But I'm talking about the rules of the game.
The game itself has changed.
It's more.
Because of analytics.
Yeah, but I'm talking about rule changes. And they're not. The DH was
sliding home plate.
Right, because somebody got hurt.
I think it's changed. I mean, I'm trying to, off the top of my head.
I'm just saying that.
Has it changed less than the NBA and football?
They've changed a lot more rules. And NFL changes.
The NBA has a 3-point line, which was, 40 years ago?
Yeah, and they do the.
Other than that.
They do, like, the replays for the end of the. I don't want to get too convoluted. There's more of a traditionalist. Even when they did the wild card, a lot of people pushed back.
But it's been great.
I originally pushed back as well. I didn't want to see. I don't want baseball to turn into the other sports where half the league makes the playoffs. And I think there's some players who, despite, you're right, they could be in the playoffs, Chris. They could make some playoff money. That they're not with that yet.
They
but anyway,
get more celebrity, more long, recognition.
Long story short, I am a little surprised at how strong he's come out against the commissioner. I get some of the stuff. We talked about it. At Major League Baseball, if there's a big home run or a play, it can't go immediately onto Twitter. They own the rights. They don't allow it. It has to come down. So other sports, that's not the case. You see a great dunk or whatever, it's on
right.
From the NBA. It's all over the place, like, immediately. So there's stuff like that needs to happen. Marketing, I get part of it. It's different. It's different for the NBA because it's fewer players. And even when you talk about 12, it's only three or four guys that really matter. It's easier to market that. Baseball, you have a 26-man roster, and a lot of people are there. And the other part is the basketball sneaker business is bigger, where people can wear Kawhis and can wear, big players,
Jordans
or LeBrons. I can wear those.
Right.
And the sneaker company markets those guys as well. So it seems like they're all over the place, and they are. And they are much
well,
more.
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The late David Stern, I thought he was the greatest commissioner in American sports history. And he is the one that really decided we're going to market the individual in the NBA more so than the teams. And that's been wildly successful as a business plan. NBA athletes, while it is third biggest sport in America, whether or not you want to say baseball because revenue is second or college football is second. But basketball, even though the athletes aren't it's not the biggest sport in America. The NBA athletes are the most recognizable athletes, not only in America, but around the world. American athletes, soccer athletes would be the whole world. But in America, American athletes, NBA players are the most marketable and most recognizable around the globe they've marketed individuals.
I also think people play basketball more so. Nobody plays American baseball other than maybe Japan.
Well, not maybe,
Australia.
Japan.
And Australia and a couple places.
But that's, again, a decision the NBA made to go and push the sport overseas. They sent coaches decades ago.
I get it, but it's also easier to play when you have in those countries where maybe everybody can't buy gloves and fields. It's easier with just a basketball like soccer.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but I think a big part of it is the fact that they've marketed them. And all these companies you mentioned, Nike, Adidas, these are worldwide companies. These aren't just American companies. So I think that's part of it, but I think Trevor Bauer's right. Major League Baseball does need to market its individuals more. With Ken Griffey Jr., you talk about it all the time with his hat backwards. They should have played off that. They've tried now. It's a little late. He's retired. But they should have played off of his individuality.
But players were the ones who pushed back because that's what I'm talking about.
Players need to change too.
I'm talking about the traditional thing. They thought it was disrespectful, which was ridiculous. But anyway, let's get on that.
They need to
market
their individuals a lot more. I agree with Bauer.
I'm not that big on the you have to pitch to three batters. This whole movement, to me, you got to be very careful. Don't alienate the people who love the game to try to get fringe people or people who really might not like your sport or might not be interested to try to get them involved. I'm not against change.
Because average baseball fans 55 years.
It's not true.
Is that true, Rob?
No, it's not.
It's in statistics.
I go to games all the
You're
time.
You're 56.
I go to games all the time. There's a lot of
that
young people.
That doesn't mean families may bring
it's
their
children.
Is it been reported?
It's not true.
It's been reported as 53.
So
I'm going to take the reports and surveys or your word, whatever, but I'm just saying.
I'm just saying there's a lot of young people at baseball games. But anyway, here's my point. I'm not that crazy about it. What if my guy doesn't have it and he has to stay in? We saw Clayton Kershaw come into the playoff game last year and give up a home run on the first two pitches he threw. According to this new rule, you got to keep him in. Maybe he don't have it. Can we think about that? We have to keep him in. I got to keep him in if he doesn't have it.
I'm fine with the rule, but I think a better rule is, and I've said this before, is that each team gets four pitchers per game. You don't have to use four, but the max you can use is four. And so if my third pitcher is getting rocked,
he doesn't have it,
I'll go to my fourth guy. But that's the last guy. If he's getting rocked, so be it. We lose that night.
And I get it.
Because it's just too many
specializations.
Too
Where one guy comes in, throws one pitch to one guy, then they warm up another guy. No, I get it. It's a lot.
You and
it's
I, we grew up in the day when guys would pitch. Complete games were commonplace.
Or a closer.
Can a brother get a complete game?
Or a closer would pitch the last three innings.
Right.
Like a closer would pitch three innings, not just the ninth inning. He pitched
seventh, eighth,
and ninth.
There was no such thing as a quality start. We're making up rules, and come on. I don't need to see eight, nine pitchers in a game. Four is plenty. So I'm fine with this rule. You make a great point, Rob. If the guy gets first pitch as a homer, pitch to the next guy, he doubles. Like, I'm getting him out, but now I'm in trouble.
I need to at least keep him in there, and that might take me out the game.
That's why I think just saying four pitchers. You get four pitchers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Last night, Rob Parker, Zion Williamson, the legend grows. He faced a future Hall of Famer in Carmelo Anthony as the Pelicans walloped the Portland Trail Blazers. And Zion went berserk. 31 points, 9 rebounds, 5 dimes, 10 for 17 shooting. Got to the free throw line 14 times. Was a plus 25. It's a game high in plus minus. He was dominant. And it was only his ninth game of the season. The question I want to throw at you, Robin, we talked about this today on Undisputed. Is Zion Williamson already a superstar in the NBA? I got my opinion. I'm going to let you weigh in first. What do you think?
No way, no how. Way too premature. When you start throwing out superstars to people, I get it. Is he popular? Do people know him? He played at a big school in Duke, and he ripped out of his sneaker, Chris. Even if you didn't know who he was, you knew who he was from that. Am I right? Was that right. Not on the news?
And people knew him from YouTube dunks
and all that.
In high school.
I get all that.
Right?
So that doesn't mean just because you're recognizable or you're popular that you're a superstar. And I think we're too quick. Dennis Green will tell you.
Dennis Green will tell you
that stop being ready to crown people.
Do we have that sound?
Well, he's already ready with that.
But if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
But to crown people before they play, he's played 9 games. You know, he's played
he's averaging 27 minutes a game.
They are who we thought they were.
He's played 9 games more than me in the NBA. That's all. Just 9 games. You want to call me a superstar?
Heck no.
But you know what I'm saying, Chris. It's just too soon. Stop. We had a big fight with J-Mac, Jason McIntyre, on the show because he's ready to crown him. He's a superstar. Everybody knows it. And we should just back up and put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rob. Look, as you said, it's 9 games. Can we slow down? We have yet to see, because he has yet to do it, Zion Williamson play 3 months straight of basketball at a high level. We have yet to see that. And how are we going to call him a superstar when you haven't even played 3 months straight? I can't. Now, he's a celebrity.
No doubt about it.
He's well known.
He's popular.
Don't confuse superstar with celebrity. A celebrity is somebody that's well-known, that's popular, everybody loves.
Kim Kardashian.
He is that. But she's a celebrity.
She's a celebrity.
But he is not yet a superstar basketball player. If we're going to say Zion's a superstar, then you know who else is a superstar? Trae Young. Trae Young was voted as a starter in the All-Star game. Now, Zion, you can say, well, Zion was hurt. Being hurt doesn't matter in the fan voting. If Zion was that huge, as big as Trae Young, then he would have got some votes.
No doubt about it.
He didn't get votes.
They could have wrote him in.
Right.
I don't know if he was on the list. Was he?
They could have written him in. I'm sure he probably was on the list. I didn't really see the ballots. I did my media vote, but I'm sure he was on the list. And so he's not a superstar yet. Can we slow down? Now, I get it. He's off to a fantastic start. 21 points, 7.7. So we'll give him 8 rebounds a game, 57% shooting in just 27 minutes a game. He's playing well. And I do think this. I do think he will be a perennial all-star, assuming he stays healthy, which is a big assumption. But if he stays healthy, he's a numbers. He's going to put up numbers. And I don't say that in a negative way. He's going to average 25 and 11. 25 and 11, those are huge numbers. His game is built for today's NBA to some degree because the floor is so spread out. There's no one in the paint. He's got a quick first step, and he can dribble the ball well enough where he will get to the lane. Rob, we talked about this before. It is easier than ever to get into the paint in the NBA.
It's wide open for you.
Why? Because part of it is they're pushing, they're running you off the three-point line. So you don't take a three-pointer, and they want to funnel you to the mid-range so you shoot a mid-range jumper. But in the lane, there's no Patrick Ewing.
There's nobody there.
No Shaqs. No Joel Embiid, and then in Milwaukee with Giannis and Brooke Lopez. That's about it.
Right.
L.A. Lakers, okay, they got some rim protection too. But that most nights, you're not going to hit a big body who's a shot blocker, a legitimate shot blocker, when you get in the paint. So Zion will be able to finish, get in the paint, score. He can post up. And again, no real shot blockers to stop him from scoring inside. So he's going to put up numbers. My question, though, a superstar, I don't think you can be – answer me this, Rob. I'm not sure you can be a superstar in the NBA – if you don't consistently lead your team to the playoffs. Now, maybe Zion will begin doing that, but he's certainly not doing it this year because he's only playing a few games.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
No, like, I agree. Luka's
a superstar because they're winning.
He's made them into a winning squad with his presence, and that's when you start looking at people and you say, this dude is unbelievable. Like this squad was bad before he got there. You know what I mean? And now look where they are.
When he's did Kyrie become a superstar?
Right.
When LeBron got there and they started going to the finals.
Right. And it elevates other people. So I agree. I just think it's premature. This is not hating.
No,
on Zion.
The kid, right. And I think he's going to be
Chris,
very good.
I think we're in the minority. In this world that we live in now, and we're older guys. We've been around for a long time.
Speak for yourself.
A little bit older. But, you know, like nowadays, everybody's already rubber stamping everybody. I'm just saying.
I don't think they understand. Look, this to your point, today's society is a society where everything is black and or white.
And
there's no nuance.
And everything that happened today is better than anything that ever happened, Chris. That's where we are.
Rob G thinks Magic couldn't play.
Exactly.
Stop it. Unbelievable. But my point is, this generation, this society, there's no nuance anymore. You know, they you're either great or you're horrible.
Or you're a bum.
Right. There's nothing in between. And that goes for politics. It goes for celebrities. It goes for athletes. Everything. And there is nuance here. We are saying, yes, Zion is a celebrity. Yes, Zion is a very good basketball player.
And has the potential to be great.
Yes.
But we haven't seen enough to call him a superstar.
No. And here's the other. And I have questions about Zion with this. Like I said, I think he's going to be a perennial all-star, 25 and 11. Big time, you know, popular player. One of the faces of the NBA. But when you look at the real superstars who lead their teams to championship contention, James Harden, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Giannis, Kawhi Leonard, few others, Damian Lillard, they're not really, they got to the conference finals last year. But the bottom line is these guys, Rob, I can give them the ball when all else fails. First of all, they can push the ball up court.
Yep.
Now, Zion can't push it in transition. But I'm not sure you're going to see Zion basically bringing the ball up like a point guard in most cases. They can bring the ball up court, or I can give it to them on the wing and say, get me something. Create, no matter what the defense is doing. Zion, they don't really run plays for him, which I think is a strength. I like the fact that he doesn't dominate the ball. I like the fact that you don't have to run a lot for him, and he's still going to get his. But if I'm struggling and in the playoffs, you know the defense knows what's coming. They know all the plays that we're running.
Oh, everything changes.
Right. I got to give it to my one guy and say, go get it, big fella. Is Zion that guy? I'm not sure. AD isn't that guy.
I just think it's premature, and I get it. People in this the young people who are watching sports, they just want to say everything's better. Like everything's better. Oh, my God. We never seen this before. We saw Shaq. Yes, we did.
Right?
All of a sudden, it's like.
There was Wilt, then there was Shaq.
Yes. We saw Shaq. So don't act like it's never been done.
Dr. Jake really could fly.
Yes, he did. We've seen that.
I mean, I'm even hearing people belittle Michael Jordan at times.
Yeah. Oh, who did he win? Right. Who did he beat? Oh, he didn't do anything.
There were no athletes back then.
Right. Everybody was. Watch the old video. Those guys couldn't play. Who did he beat?
Here's the other thing, Rob. If we are going, like those of you out there, and we're going to let you call in a few moments, who want to crown Zion already and say he's a superstar. Let's keep it real.
Then crown their ass.
Let's keep it real. Then Lonzo Ball was a superstar.
Yep, he was the second overall pick. You heard that? Absolutely.
Magic said he was going to have his, Magic retired his number.
Said he was going to be up in
at the press conference.
At the Staples Center, right? Oh, they're going to put his
he retired his number at the press conference. And Lonzo sold out Summer League.
And you remember that?
Everybody,
and the ratings were good. You remember the TV ratings for him?
He was as big as Zion. He was. He sounds crazy now. He was.
And then they had the sneakers and all that. It was all the rave about Lonzo Ball was the next revolutionary, what was it, point guard. He was transcending player.
And I know people are going to say, well, Zion has done it. Obviously, Lonzo didn't play that great his first few years in the NBA. He's playing better now. He's still not great.
But
Zion has been great. I'll give you that, but what you got to admit is this. In Summer League, Lonzo was great.
He was the MVP of Summer League.
He was great. So if you want to say Zion is a superstar now, then you got to admit at Summer League, early in his career, you know, before his career even started, Lonzo Ball was a superstar.
Yep.
Because he had the popularity, he had the production in the Summer League, everybody loved him.
They sold out all the games.
Yep.
And he was the MVP playing against all the rookies who were there, Chris, and all the other players. And what did he turn into? Is his jersey up at Staples Center?
I don't think it's going to be in the rafters. Okay. I don't think he's going to break Magic Johnson's records.
I don't think so.
And usually I don't agree with Rob when he claims everything's premature. You got a fascination with premature stuff.
No, it's all
good.
But
I'm just saying, you like to use that word. When I usually disagree with you on that because you think it's premature to say that Patrick Mahomes is awesome.
No, I didn't say that. I'm not ready for the GOAT conversation.
The GOAT, but he's got GOAT like tendencies, and he's in the GOAT conversation. You know, he could potentially one day be in the conversation. That's all the brother's saying. But I agree with you on this one. This is way too early, way too premature. Zion Williamson, 9 games, 27 minutes a night. Come on.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's stick with baseball. Interesting story in The Athletic. Now, The Athletic is the one that broke the news about the Houston Astros cheating scandal. And they've got a new story that came out, basically putting it all on Carlos Beltran. Rob G, can you kind of summarize
what they reported?
This story for us?
Beltran disregarded it and steamrolled everybody when they asked why we need to stop. They said we need to stop. Where do you go if you're a young, impressionable player with the Astros and this guy says, we're doing this, what do you do?
Stop it! Wait. Carl, what year was Beltran in?
That was his last year as a player.
You mean, I'm sorry, Rob, we know how this business works. You and I have been reporters, and I'm not putting this on the reporters at all. I see this as guys on the Astros going anonymously to reporters and trying to clear everybody's name and putting it all on Carlos Beltran. You mean to tell me, now Beltran was a really good player. He wasn't Barry Bonds.
And they had respect in the clubhouse.
Right.
I get that.
But he wasn't Hank Aaron. No, he wasn't, Mike Trout or somebody like that, a legendary player. And you mean to tell me with Justin Verlander,
who is the biggest anti-cheating guy in baseball, Chris,
Jose Altuve,
right,
that all these guys just kowtowed to Beltran and were like, we really don't want to cheat, but he's making us. Really?
I can't believe it. I'm with you. I think that's the most bogus story out there, because there's a lot of things you could have done, Chris, if a lot of those guys together went to Major League Baseball together. Like, you know what I mean?
Or they could have went to Beltran and be like, look, dude, we're not doing that. I don't know what it was like, right, where you came
we're not interested in that. We want to win this thing fair and square. We don't want to have a chance of having our championship tainted. We don't believe in it. We want to play fair and square. I can hit. I don't need to know what the pitch is, Chris.
Right.
I can hit.
Right.
It just seems too convenient. I'm with you. Too convenient, because Beltran's already fallen on the axe, right? He's got the axe, and it's easy to just throw it all on him.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
Because he's not managing anymore.
He's done playing. He's done managing, at least for now. No question about it. And they even tried to say that A.J. Hinch, the manager, you know, just bowed down. That A.J. Hinch, where's the quote, Rob G., that he couldn't do anything about it? Then I'm sorry, you shouldn't have been a manager.
It's whose clubhouse is it?
Right.
It's A.J. Hinch's clubhouse.
If you couldn't stand up to Carlos Beltran and say, we're not doing this, then you shouldn't have been the manager and you were rightfully dismissed. I mean, come on, this is crazy.
I totally agree.
And the other thing, Rob, is it says, I'm sorry to cut you off, but it says that Beltran told the Astros, this is according to multiple sources, that their sign-stealing methods were, quote-unquote, behind the times. So that says they already were cheating.
Right.
Beltran just took it to another level. So it still indicts you.
It does. I mean, that's the other part. And like we talked about earlier, Chris, if you could get some signals and you're at second base and you could relay it to your buddy at the plate, that's a part of the game.
Right.
Once you bring in technology and you're banging garbage cans and blowing whistles – and you got a replay screen right there in the hallway of the dugout, between the dugout and the clubhouse. That's straight up
cheating.
You're
wearing buzzers.
Yes.
No question about it. All right, now, Rob G. did bring up the Washington Post story, and that one
said— That's another story that's hard for me to believe.
Well, it said right around the league, and Jim Bowden, former manager, we had him
GM,
on. GM, I'm sorry. He did say that he felt like everybody knew. They just couldn't prove it. And that's what the Washington Post story is saying. Everybody in Major League Baseball knew the Astros cheated. I'm with you, Rob, though. I don't buy that either. Well, let me read a few of the quotes. One exec from a team that faced Houston in the playoffs.
Yep.
Here's his quote. The whole industry knows they've been cheating for 3 or 4 years. Everybody knew it. A veteran scout who covered the Astros for an opposing team. He said this, it was a big open secret, really big. Things were going on with the Astros that were blatantly against the rules. A current member of the Washington Nationals, it was amazing. Once we were playing the Astros, how many people were coming out of the, it was amazing. Once we were playing the Astros, how many people were coming out of the woodwork to let us know what they were doing? Here's what I say to that. Then why didn't somebody say something?
Absolutely. You know what? We refuse to play. You go to the commissioner, Rob Manfred. We're not playing the series until you and Major League Baseball get here. Check the cameras in center field.
Right.
Check the dugout. Have an official in the dugout, Chris.
Yep.
You're telling me you knew what they were doing, but nobody went to Major League Baseball and said, I want you to police the Astros, and I want you to sweep that clubhouse, sweep that dugout, sit a major league representative there,
yep,
and find out what's going on if everybody knew. I don't believe it for 1 second that everybody knew, but nobody did anything. And so,
you said the Yankees said a few things.
In the playoffs, they questioned it. Same thing. Rich Hill with the Dodgers, Chris, changed his signs every inning when he started in Houston. So my point is, why wasn't that brought up till after the fact?
I totally agree with you. And because here's the thing. And I first of all, chill out in this case, especially with the snitching, no snitching. There were opponents. All right, there, it wasn't Astros, and we know some people came out and said Astros players couldn't have snitched. That's another argument for another day. But these are opponents, so the snitching is out.
Right, that ain't snitching.
Right. Secondly, you're costing me a chance to win the World Series. You're costing me money, potentially a big contract. If I'm a pitcher, and I know you're getting my what's coming, you could cost me money.
That was Mike Friars. Every time he pitched, they got lit up.
So I don't buy it that these players would know that they're cheating and just be like, hey, it is what it is. Let's try to beat him anyway. No.
Hey, ask Aaron Judge if he wants that MVP trophy that Altuve got.
Right. There you go.
Go back and look at the numbers.
There you go. You know how competitive the Yankees organization is.
You think
they would have let this go?
So that Aaron Judge could get cheated?
Yeah, I'm with you,
right? I don't believe it.
It's too convenient that all these stories are coming out now. And most of them anonymous, which I get because that's a lot of times that's when
but that's
God
why
tells
I
truth.
But that's
people
why I respect,
will also spin stuff anonymously.
But that's why I respect Mike Friars. Seriously, Chris.
Well, I agree.
To put his name on it. A lot of people won't do that. And most big stories are always anonymous. You know that in journalism. You got to get people because they're afraid to say something. But give him credit. He was like, dude, no. I'm telling you, and you can put my name on it.
Right.